Hello and welcome back to the RHS Gardening Podcast. Each fortnight we bring you a mixture of features and discussions exploring every aspect of gardening, plant care, pest control, container ideas, growing your own fruit and vegetables, plus expert seasonal advice on what you should be doing in your garden right now. I'm Tony Dickerson, one of the team of horticultural advisors here at the RHS Garden Wisley in Surrey. Coming up in this edition, how do you protect your precious plants from the winter weather? RHS experts guide you on the frost protection for fuchsias, tree ferns and dahlias. To dig or not to dig, how to prepare your soil to give next year's vegetables a head start, and RHS experts answer your gardening questions by post and email. And, as always, we have the latest news on RHS events across our four gardens. But first, let's head outside to find out what tasks the gardening team are tackling in RHS Wisley right now.
Hello, my name's Lucy Tate and I'm a horticulturalist at RHS Wisley. I look after the canal area and currently in the garden I'm planting my spring flowering bulbs. So narcissus, which are daffodils, and tulips can be planted at this time of year. Great tip is dig your hole, scatter the bulbs at the bottom of the hole, making sure they're all facing upwards. You can tell that by the basal plate on the bottom is a flat surface on the bottom of the bulb. Place them all at the bottom of the hole and cover with soil. You will find that if you've scattered them and place them where they've fallen, that will give you a nice naturalized look. Another great technique is to make sure you plant them three times their depth. That gives enough support for the pedestal, which is the flower stem, to stay upright, and also ensures they will flower year on year. Sometimes if they're planted too shallow, they won't flower. When feeding bulbs in a grass area, be careful not to feed in spring when you will be feeding the grass, and that may overpower the bulb. You want to feed in autumn, so mark out the area, give it a feed, just to ensure you get good flowering performance.
Hi, I'm Peter Jones from the Glasshouse here at Wisley. Now's a really good time of year to pot some hyacinths or hippiastrums if you want a good show for Christmas. Remembering that when you pot them, not to pot the compost halfway above the top of the bulb, and also that they need to go for a period in somewhere cool and dark before you put them on show. It's also a really good thing to be aware as our days get shorter, our light levels are getting less, and as getting cooler outside. With this in mind, we need to remember that plants are going to drink a lot less, so to be really careful on our watering. Pay particular attention to plants such as Streptocarpus or Centpaulia, which really don't like sitting wet for any period of time. So really be careful about your watering of those. Also, with reduced temperatures, we tend to put our heating on more. With this, our houses get drier, which isn't always ideal for some of our houseplants. So where have you got palms or maybe something like a Swiss cheese plant, the Monstura delicosa, it would be a good idea to try and increase their humidity. A good way of doing this is putting some gravel in the base of a saucer and putting the pot on top of the saucer, and then when you fill up the saucer with water, that can evaporate and increase the humidity, but it means that the roots of the plant aren't sit wet for long periods of time. Now, moving into your greenhouse at this time of year, it's a good idea to sow sweet peas if you want to get them really started early, ready for next spring. It's a great time of year to start jobs like cleaning, getting rid of any debris where you might have any pests or disease hiding. So making sure you clean any yellow leaves or fallen flowers from the bases of pots, as they can be perfect little hiding holes for bugs. As well as good hygiene, it's a good time of year to clean pots if you recycle and reuse your plant pots. Bugs and such as mealybug can hide under the rim of the pot, and you don't want those bugs getting into your plants in the following year. As with in your home, it's getting colder outside, so be sure to check that your greenhouse heaters are all working and that you've got plenty of wicks for paraffin-based heaters. It's quite a good idea to insulate your greenhouse with bubble wrappers. That's quite an effective way of stopping losing excess heat through the thin glass.
My name is Mario. I look after the vegetable garden at Wisley RHS. And we are in October now, and it's time to think about preparing the ground for next year. There are two ways of looking at this. Some people believe that by not digging the soil structure can be maintained and there is better quality crops for next year. Another school of thought is that you dig every year and according to what crops you decide to grow the following year, then you add organic matter to the soil and dig it in and leave the soil to rest over winter for the frost and the rain. Here in the vegetable garden, I tend to dig every year all the available spaces, and where appropriate, I incorporate organic matter, such as compost or well-rotted horse manure or spent mushroom compost. Again, each one of these is in relation to what crops you really want to grow. You wouldn't use spent mushroom compost for potatoes because it tends to be rather alkaline and potato-like, slightly acidic soil. On the other hand, you wouldn't want to use just ordinary garden compost for potatoes, for example, because they homemade compost tend to be slightly too acidic, even for potatoes. Manuring the soil, which means adding organic matter to it prior to digging, is not the same as feeding the crops. Manuring will increase the fertility of the soil, but not necessarily the amount of the right nutrients needed by the crops. That is something that needs to be checked, evaluated according to the crops that will be grown onto the ground. So crops like beetroot or spinach, they don't really need that much nutrients. So the additional organic matter would be sufficient. While crops like brassica or potatoes, they definitely need, on top of the additional organic matter to the soil, they definitely need to be fertilized accordingly.
You can find more tips and advice on growing your own fruit and vegetables on the Grow Your Own pages of the RHS website, rhs.org.uk/growyourown. Here you can also find video guides to key jobs in the garden. I'm Tony Dickerson, and you're listening to the RHS Gardening Podcast. One of the most common questions RHS advisors are asked at this time of year is, how do I prevent my tender plants from getting damaged by the extremes of winter weather? To answer this, here's RHS garden advisor Lee Hunt with some suggestions of what you can do now to protect some of your prized plants from frosts in the months ahead.
I'm Lee Hunt, I'm the principal horticultural advisor here at Wisley. And it's that time of year where the frosts are beginning to loom on the forecast. So you've got to think about some winter protection for those tender plants. Probably the two things that are most common are dahlias and cannas. Obviously, at the moment, they're providing fantastic colour, but very quickly we'll get the frosts and you'll find that they blacken and the leaves begin to decay. You can get them up now, but traditionally you leave them until they get frosted, and then you've got a decision to make. If you've got light sandy soils, you can leave them in the ground, but if you've got wet or cold clay soils, then it is better to lift them. So you need to get your spade in, try not to damage the tubers or the rhizomes as you're lifting your dahlias and cannas, then bring them out whole, gently shake off as much of the soil as possible, and then ideally turn them upside down in trays so they begin to, all that excess moisture dries and drains out of them. You can do that by placing them in somewhere cool, but ideally a bit drier. So it could be in your greenhouse that's well ventilated, or even somewhere like a conservatory, or if you've got a lean-to down the side of the house, ideal. When they have dried out really thoroughly, turn them back up the right way and find somewhere frost-free, and really just keep an eye on them over the winter months so that they're not getting really bone dry, but they're staying sort of nice and stable so that they will store well for the winter. We mentioned that you can store dahlias and cannas in the ground as well. They just need some additional protection. So once they've been frosted, cut them off pretty much at ground level. But then they're going to survive by the soil providing an insulative layer against the cold. Now, typically that will only work if they're in nice and deep. And you know what we're like, we're often a bit lazy when we plant them. So to ensure that they are deep enough, put a good 6 inches of mulch on the top. That will provide the depth that's needed to give that insulation. The mulch can be anything. It can be your garden compost. It could literally be some bagged bark. Whatever you've got to hand, this is about depth rather than a specific material. The final thing as well, if you've got smaller tuber dahlias, things like Bishop of Llandaff, they can be too weedy to go through the winter and often die out. If you've had that happening, lift them, pot them, cut them back, but just keep them ever so gently growing in a cool greenhouse or conservatory. That way you'll definitely get them to go through. Now on to that other big group that became very popular in the last few years, which is tree ferns. Obviously there can be a huge investment, and the last thing you want to do is lose them over the winter months. So if your tree fern is still small, pay extra attention because it's particularly prone to frost over the winter. Bring it into a frost-free greenhouse or a conservatory if you can, because that's really going to be the best way for the small plants. But if your tree fern's starting to get bigger, you again can keep it outside. And the thing to do with that is give it a good wrap, so make sure that it's got some insulation. If it's a relatively mild or southern garden, you can just do that by putting a good few handfuls of straw right in the crown, packing it together to provide insulation. Fold up the fronds, tie them round, and then just put a cap over the top. You can even get like a sort of polystyrene insert in the middle as well, just to shed some of the water from the crown in the centre, which is your growing points, the most important bit to protect. If you're in a colder area, then also consider doing more of a full wrap where you take some fleece and then you wrap it right round, keep going up and up, helter skelter like, and cover all the fronds and the stem as well. It doesn't matter if some dampness gets into the plant because that will go on feeding the roots, but you're just trying to keep the worst of the winter wet and cold out.
Lee Hunt from the RHS advisory team. You can find more information about overwintering plants, including video guides to wrapping tree ferns and bananas, on the RHS website, rhs.org.uk/advice. If you feel like visiting one of the fabulous RHS gardens this autumn, here are some ideas of the activities to enjoy in the coming weeks. Enjoy autumn plants and produce at the RHS London Harvest Festival show, the 8th to the 9th of October, or the new look RHS London Shades of Autumn show, 22nd to the 23rd of October, where specialist nurseries welcome you with original floral displays and great plants for you to buy. Join us for the food and craft events at all four RHS gardens, which host autumn festivals on the 12th to 13th of October at Hyde Hall, Harlow Car and Rosemore, or from the 16th to the 20th of October at Wisley, all supported by Mr. Fothergill's. Details of all these events, as always, are on the website at rhs.org.uk/gardens. You can also help us support wildlife during Wild About Gardens Week from the 25th to the 31st of October. Join fellow gardening enthusiasts in your community or inspire others by organising your own event. More details on wildaboutgardensweek.org.uk. If you're a regular listener to the RHS Gardening Podcast, you already know that once a month our experts from the advisory team here at RHS Garden Wisley are on hand to answer your gardening questions. The RHS Advisory Service is free for all RHS members, and if you have any questions you'd like to hear answered on the podcast, you can email them to us at podcast@rhs.org.uk. Tackling the questions with me this month are Guy Barter, Rob Sterling and Liz Beale. A question here from Martin Potting from Manchester. Next year I'd love to try grow your own, but I don't have a garden. What fruit and veg can I grow indoors? I have a tiny balcony, it's on the 6th floor of a flat, and they also have access to windowsills. Well, Rob, is there any hope there for vegetable production?
Quite a lot, I think. What you really need to consider choosing vegetables and fruit which are small growing, and also ones which have a reasonably short season. So, for example, in a window box, you could grow things like spinach, which you can crop by picking the leaves over a regular period. It will eventually run to seed, but you should get a really decent amount of leafage from that. Salad crops too are also extremely good in things like pots and window boxes. You can choose any of the chicory salads or various lettuces. You can also grow things like spring onions, which you can use in your salads. And carrots also do remarkably well in pots and window boxes. So there's a huge variety, really, of vegetables which you can choose. Fruit-wise, obviously things like apples and so on are completely out of the question. But smaller growing fruit, such as gooseberries or even some of the smaller growing raspberries or something like that, you could grow in a fairly large container on a balcony. And of course, tomatoes and peppers are things that you can choose for growing in the summer. When the weather is warmed up, they would do extremely well in containers and will provide a very good crop for the space they take up.
Alison Chatter from Bucks says, my plants with red and silver foliage, I'd like to break up the sea of green with some interesting leaves in my garden. What plants can you recommend for a west-facing, partially shaded plot with coloured leaves? Guy or Tony?
Oh, right, yeah. I guess here the crucial thing is the amount of partial shading, because most coloured leaves, particularly silver foliage, tends to want full sun. And so things like lavender, which are great for a silver effect, may not do very well. Rosemary would certainly be more suitable. But it is all about the matter of degree of shading there. And it may be that it's a better option to go down the road of hostas and such like if the soil's moist enough. Guy, do you have any suggestions there?
Well, how about begonias that have got glossy leaves during the summer and go red in the winter? And also hooteras. Hooteras are immensely popular nowadays because they'll grow anywhere and exceedingly easy to grow and relatively economic. And there's certainly reddish hues amongst those, as well as plenty of green and other colours. And they're very widely offered at the moment.
Another one to consider would be Brunner or Jack Frost, which has extremely silver leaves, but does do quite well in shade, although it would actually prefer a moist soil rather than a dry soil. And it also has attractive forget-me-not blue type flowers in the spring.
For winter use, I often like to think of Euonymus fortunii, a silver queen, for example, that can be grown as a hummocky shrub in almost any situation and each year cut back to keep it within size and shape.
And another consideration would be Pittosporum Tom Thumb, which only gets around 2 feet high probably when it's fully grown and perhaps as much across. And it starts off putting out very densely foliaged lime green leaves, which then turn a lovely plum purple as the foliage matures.
I guess if the site's shaded, the more shade even the better, then a lot of the Japanese acers will certainly do this job. Something like garnet, very rich, deep burgundy colour, very fine cut leaves, a great choice. And the whole range has hundreds of acer cultivars, and these Japanese acers do revel in a bit of shade and a bit of sun. Main thing, it needs to be sheltered and certainly out of the wind, but they'll certainly give you a colour throughout the spring and summer months.
Acers are quite expensive and a bit temperamental, and where there's any doubt about the soil, consider some of the red-coloured leaves elders, such as Eva and Black Lace, and also Physocarpus. There's a number of shrubs there with yellow and red foliage as well that are well worth thinking about.
And I suppose if we're looking at shrubs, then again, Cotinus, things like Cotinus Grace, nice rich colour, but again, probably needs a reasonable amount of sun. But big advantage of it, it can be pollarded or cut quite hard back in late winter, so that if you haven't got a lot of space, you can actually produce a foliage plant that will make a vivid display during the summer months.
Some of the Philadelphus too are quite good in shade, and Philadelphus coronarius aurea has lovely lime green leaves, but it also has the benefit of really sweetly scented flowers in spring.
Our last question of today comes from Eleanor Ashton from Reading. Next year, my 8-year-old son Freddie wants to grow his own giant pumpkin for Halloween. How do we go about it, and when do we have to start?
Well, Freddie should have an excellent chance, assuming he's lucky enough to have access to a piece of reasonably fertile soil with plenty of sunlight. And you need quite a big piece because the pumpkin rambles and generally spreads itself around a bit. So first thing to do is to prepare the ground and fork in lots of compost from the compost bin or some other soil improver. Spread a little fertiliser, maybe 70 grams per square yard of fertiliser. Get the ground ready for some time in April. Then you need to buy a seed of the right pumpkin. They usually come in packets of six seeds, so you've got several chances to get it right. And then start the seed round about mid-April, mid to late April. Start it on the windowsill. It'll grow very fast because it's a big seed, and you'll have a nice big plant ready to put out by about mid-May. Now, fortunately, living in Reading in the south, it should be fine. But if there's any question of the weather being a bit cold, cover it with some fleece or a cut-off plastic bottle, something like that, to give it a bit of extra help. And watch out for slugs. Slugs can sneak in the night and make short work of a pumpkin plant. Once the weather warms up from June, the pumpkin will grow away nice and fast. And if you plant one of these large pumpkins with names like Atlantic Giant and Sumo, they'll... They don't need any special treatment, and they'll form a fruit sometime in August, and that fruit will swell and swell as long as you keep them well watered. And if you're of a competitive nature, then giving them some liquid fertiliser every fortnight will make them even bigger. The plant will ramble along a bit, but once it's formed its fruit, you can cut it off a few feet beyond where the fruit is if it's starting to go into the neighbour's garden or being a nuisance. Sometime in September, the leaves will begin to go dry and fall down, and the pumpkin will develop a lovely, nice pumpkin colour. And when you tap it and it rings hollow, and the stem is looking dry and dried up, it'll be time to cut it. And then, hopefully, with the aid of several adults, Freddie will be able to carry a ginormous pumpkin into somewhere frost-free, where it'll store for quite a long time. Be warned, though, that these large pumpkins are too large to use readily, and when you cut them up they make a huge amount of pumpkin soup, more in fact than most families can cope with in a long period. However, remember the pumpkin flesh can be frozen and are used over the winter as a dessert and as a vegetable. So good luck with the pumpkin.
But what about, Guy, if you're going to go to all that trouble, why waste this ground on the children? Why not actually look at some really good winter squash that will see you through the vagaries of the winter, something like Crown Prince, excellent cooking qualities, nice steely blue fruit there, fantastic for soups and for purees and such like. And if that's too big, something like Winter Festival or Harlequin, very small bite-sized plants or fruit that will get you through the winter. And again, why just waste your pumpkins on Halloween when you've got the whole winter there ahead of you?
A question better addressed, I think, to Freddie.
That was the advice team at RHS Garden Wisley. Remember, RHS members can contact the team by phone, email or letter for free help with any garden queries. If you'd like details on how you can become a member of the RHS, just go to rhs.org.uk/join. Well, we're out of time on this edition of the RHS Gardening Podcast. We'll be back in a fortnight. Until then, remember to follow us on Twitter at @the_RHS and like us on Facebook. For now, from me, Tony Dickerson, and the team here at RHS Garden Wisley in Surrey, goodbye.